the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It's time for a Bible reading. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, if you've brought them, or turn on your phones, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. The words are also on the screen for those of you at home or even here in church if you've not brought your Bible or brought your phone with the Bible app on. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. That's a strong reading all about the use of the tongue. And we're looking at this passage because we've been in a series looking at the emotionally healthy life. And now we've come to the end of the series, and I want to ask a question. And the question is this: is there a way that we can test ourselves? Is there a way that we can test our emotional health? You know, at the moment, the government's keen to do all this COVID testing to see if you've got COVID. Well, is there a test that we can apply on a daily or on a weekly, on a monthly basis to test the emotional health of our hearts, to test our emotional and spiritual state? And James says there is. And that test is how we use our tongue. James says you can measure the emotional and spiritual state of your own life, of your own soul, by your words. In the book of James, James is saying that spiritual and emotional health, spiritual and emotional maturity, develops in response to suffering and tough times, is encouraged and developed and enhanced in response to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and is evidenced by the use of the tongue. When I was a child and I used to go to the doctors, the doctor would always say to me, stick out your tongue, say "ah." Maybe you remember him doing that with you as well. Evidently, the doctor was able to tell a lot about my physical health by looking into my mouth. Well, James is saying the same sort of thing here. He's saying you can tell a lot about someone's spiritual health by looking into their mouth, or even more, by what comes out of their mouth, by the use of the tongue. So, if you want to know, if you want to examine yourself, if you want to test yourself and your emotional and health, spiritual health this morning, how are you using your tongue? Are you in control of it? Or is it in control of you? To what extent are you in control of your tongue? You know, we might say today, who's the daddy? You or your tongue? To what extent have you tamed it? This passage talks about the use of the tongue, and it tells us three things about it. It tells us more than that. I should say, I do say this every Sunday. I say, oh, there's three things in this passage. There's a lot more than three things in every passage, but there's three things I want us to look at this morning. And the first is why we should be taming our tongue. Why the tongue is the test of our emotional and spiritual health. Then, what does a tamed tongue look like? And finally, how are we able to tame it? How can you get your tongue under control? So, why does it need to be tamed? What's it look like? And how do you get it under control? First of all, why does the tongue need to be tamed? Why does your tongue need to be tamed? First reason is because your words matter. What you say matters. At the start of our passage, James says, not many of you should become teachers. Why not? Because teachers will be judged more strictly than the average person. Why will teachers be judged more strictly than the average person? Because teachers use words a lot. That's what I do on a Sunday, teaching, using words. I speak more on a Sunday than anybody else at church. And my words carry more weight. And so I will be judged with a greater strictness. But the same is true for all of us. You see, our words matter, your words matter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 that everybody will give an account of every careless word that they say. And we all speak a lot. I think the stats say that men use 7,000 words a day and women use 20,000 words a day. That's the stats. And we are, today we're using a lot more words, aren't we? There's Facebook, there is social media and emails. We are using more words and more ways to communicate today than ever before. And all those words that you use in all those contexts matter. And James says, secondly, that your words are powerful. In verses 3 to 5, James uses two common illustrations to get across the point that your words have a lot of power. First of all, he talks about bits in a horse's mouth. And then he talks about rudders on a boat. Now, I don't know whether you're into horses or into boats, but we get the idea from both of these things, don't we? It's something small in a horse's mouth that directs the whole horse. It's something small on a boat that guides the direction it goes in. You see, the illustration is the same in both things. Something more small moving something big. And James says that's true about your tongue. Your tongue is something small, and yet it's very, very powerful. Somebody once said, a fool's tongue, even though it's very small, is long enough to cut his own throat. Think about that for a moment. Your tongue is very, very small, but it has powerful consequences, both for your life and the lives of others. But third, James says that our words, your words, can cause destruction. He says this in verse 6. He says, verses 5 and 6, he says that the tongue is a world of fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. You know, recently we've seen the devastating effects of fire in America. You know, 5 million acres of land destroyed by fire, some towns and villages destroyed by fire. And how do these things start? They all start in different ways, but, you know, a campfire left unattended. A cigarette butt cast aside. And suddenly a whole forest is destroyed. Well, James is saying the same things here. He's saying one sharp word, one loose sentence, one unkind aside can cause a huge and devastating fire. James calls the tongue a world of unrighteousness, and I think he calls it a world of unrighteousness because there's lots of ways that a tongue can do damage. A tongue can do damage through just being unkind in the words that are used, or through lying, or through gossip, or through mocking somebody, or laughing at them behind their back, or in backstabbing, or in mudslinging. Things like deceit, trying to deceive somebody with your words, or speaking with a forked tongue, that is speaking and saying one thing at 1 minute, and then something different another minute. And then there's the sneer as well. Kind of scoffing about somebody or about something. There's so many different ways the tongue can be used to bring about destruction. And it's called a stain. You know, a stain can ruin a good dress, so I'm told. Well, one word from a Christian can put somebody off church for life. Especially if that word comes from a Christian in authority or a mature Christian to somebody who's younger. Verse 8, we're told again that the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. That is like, the tongue is, in some ways, is pictured here like a snake, a restless snake that's always slithering and moving around, always looking for someone to bite. Restless, quick to defend itself when it's attacked, quick to get at others. And it's a deadly poison. The tongue can use words that eat away at life, that spread poison. We might even say today, spread a cancer. And that can spread a cancer in whatever community that tongue is involved in, even the church. You know, how common is it to hear a Christian's name mentioned, and yet, sadly, the first words of response are to put them down, to damage their reputation, to belittle them, and to cause the person that you're speaking to distance themselves from that person. You know, putting down others damages relationships, destroys communities. Because when you say a word, you can't put it back. It's powerful. It's destructive. Many of you know the power of words personally. Some of you know it for good. You know, that one word from that friend when you were really down just gave you hope and comfort, so you could keep going. So you could keep going in your faith, so you could keep going in your life. But you also know that crushing word, that word that brings you down, that word from a parent which still haunts you 30 years later, 50 years later, affects your life. Words can be destructive. They are powerful, and they really matter. And so mastering our words, mastering our tongues, is important. So what does it look like? What's involved in it? You know, if we're to be emotionally and spiritually healthy people with a tongue that is mastered and controlled, what would that look like? What would it be like? Well, actually, if you want a tongue that is under control, that is mastered, you need to look somewhere else first. You see, the problem with our words is not first and foremost our tongue. It's our hearts. James says, well, it's our inner person. You see, James says in verse 10 that from our mouth can come two things, blessing or cursing. The same tongue can speak words of blessing, or the same tongue can speak words of cursing, even though it comes from the same heart. And the reason for that is because of what's going on in our hearts. You see, the reason we say words of blessing is because the source of our hearts is good and healthy. And the reason we say words of cursing is because our hearts are unhealthy. That's what James is getting at with these illustrations. He talks about fresh water giving a fresh spring giving fresh water. A salty spring giving salty water. A fig tree giving figs. Because that's just what a fig tree does. A grapevine giving grapes and not cucumbers. Because that's what a grapevine does. And I was planting some crocus bulbs in the garden yesterday, and in the spring, I expect crocus bulbs to come up. I don't expect there to be daffodils, because that's what's in them. And James is saying the same thing is true of our hearts. If your heart is emotionally and spiritually healthy, then out of your mouth will come words of blessing. When your heart is emotionally and spiritually unhealthy, then out of your heart will come words of cursing. Because that's what's going on in our hearts. Now, I just want to say a slight aside here, and that is some of us talk more than others. I mentioned earlier that women talk more than men. Some of us are more guarded with our words. But that doesn't change what's going on in our hearts. You know, some of us have learned the art of saying the right things at the right time socially. But actually, if somebody catches us off guard, or sometimes when somebody's had a little bit too much to drink, the words that they say are really the stuff that's going on inside. You see, James is trying to get at the root of our words, which is our hearts. Jesus said the same thing. He said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So, how do we speak words of blessing and how do we speak words of cursing? Well, first of all, we speak words of cursing when our hearts speak to us with sin and with pride. You see, sin turns our hearts in on itself. It makes us focus on ourselves, and that's pride. You see, what's pride all about? Pride is all about focusing on number one. It's all about saying, I'm what's important here. I'm the one who matters. It's about my needs and my wants and my desires. Because it's about how I should be treated, because I'm really worth it. And if that's what's going on in our hearts, then that's what will come out in from our mouths. That sort of pride. In conversations, it will mean that I am the center. I only talk about things that I want to talk about. I change subjects in conversation to what I'm interested in or what I know a lot about. I use words to build up me, to make me seem good, and other people to seem worse. Sometimes that can happen through words of slander. Phrases such as, have you seen how they have acted? Have you seen what they've done? Implication, I would never have done anything like that. Or words of anger. You know, have I not told you 100 times this is the way it should be done? Implication, I know better than you. That sentence should be continued really by saying, I know better than you because I am better than you. I am better than you because I am the center of the universe. If that's what's going on in the heart, that's what will come out of the mouth. Words of cursing. And it damages relationships. It makes people feel unclean. Can leave a bad taste in the mouth. And if you do speak it unkindly about somebody, then next time you see them, it's harder to look them in the eye. But we can also speak words of blessing. And we speak words of blessing when our hearts are filled with grace. See, the thing about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, sometimes we say, grace, which is undeserved favor, sometimes it's defined as. The thing about grace is it makes you look outward. It makes you focus outside of yourself. You don't look inward at yourself anymore and your needs and your wants and your desires. You look outwards towards God and towards other people. And so when you speak words of grace, words of blessing, words which encourage, words which build people up, words which increase other people's happiness, words which make other people seem great. You know, we bless other people when we take an interest in what they're doing. Even if it's not something you're particularly interested in. You're interested in it, not because you're interested in it, but because you're interested in the person. You're bothered about them, and so you're bothered about what they're like. You know, parents do this instinctively with their children. You know, I have been known to play Sylvanian families with my daughter. I'm not particularly bothered about Sylvanian families, but I am particularly bothered about my daughter, and so I take an interest in it because she's interested in it. Parents do that. But James is saying here that a healthy, spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy heart does that as well. We bless others when we're encouraging and kind and thoughtful and generous with our words. We're thoughtful in what we say, trying to put ourselves in their shoes to understand how they might feel and how they might receive certain words. We bless others when we forgive other people. We overlook faults in other people, even if they've done it 100 times and we've very kindly mentioned it 100 times. We overlook faults and mistakes and wrongs done to us. You know, instead of speaking badly back when someone speaks badly to us, we bless. We build up. We encourage. You know, one of the things about being a grace-filled person is this. It's hard to identify them. You see, if you meet somebody who is speaking, who is grace-filled, if you meet a grace-speaking person, all you will know is that they were interested in you. You feel listened to. You feel cared for. That's it. It was a blessing to be with them. A graceful person is somebody who's interested in others and concerned for them. And so they use their words accordingly. Words of grace to build up. So the final question is this. If we want to be grace-speaking people, how do we get grace in our hearts? How can we have grace at the center of who we are instead of pride? How can our tongues be tamed so that our emotional health can be stronger and better? Well, in the context of the book of James, it's through the word of the gospel. You see, if you want to have grace in your heart, you need to consider where grace comes from. You need to consider Jesus Christ. You need to consider what God has done for you in him. How even though you are sinful and deserve to be punished by God for your sins, yet God in his love and in his mercy and in his grace has sent his son to die for you, that you might be forgiven, that you might be right with God again, not on the basis of anything that you have done, but on the basis of what he has done. That's grace. It's unconditional. You simply receive it as a gift by faith. You see, if you see what he has done for you, if you see that you are so sinful, Jesus Christ had to die for you, and yet you're so loved that he wanted to die for you, it changes your heart. And the more you focus on that grace, the more it will change your heart. The more it will change the way you speak. Because it deals with your pride. You see that you're so sinful, he had to die. You see that you're so loved, he wanted to die. That deals with your pride because it says that you've got nothing to boast about in getting to God, in being right with him, because you're a sinner. And yet you've got no reason to try and prove yourself to God because you're just loved unconditionally. If you fill that your heart with that message every day, if you play that message over and over to yourself, like playing the same song on a CD player over and over, or an MP3 player over and over and over again until you've memorized it. If you play that song over and over and over again to your heart, play it over and over again in your heart, then out of your mouth will come words of blessing because you'll be an emotionally more healthy person. Just as we close, I want to be really practical and give you 5 specific ways in which you can test yourself. 5 specific ways in which you can seek to be emotionally and spiritually more healthy in the words that you use. First of all, let me give you these 5 just as we finish. First of all these 5 ways are all from the book of James. First of all, be quick to hear and slow to speak. James says that in chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry. Second, never speak evil of another person. Says that in James 4. James says, 4:11, do not speak evil against anyone, brothers. That's quite categorical, isn't it? Number 3, never boast in what you accomplish. It's what James says in James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Don't boast about yourself in your conversations because you don't know what's going to happen next, what's around the corner. Number 4, never grumble because God is the judge. James chapter 5, verse 9 says that. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. And finally, number 5, never allow anything but total integrity in your speech. James says that in James 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James doesn't want you to be double-tongued. He wants what you say to be what you mean. Those are five short things to work on with your words to examine your emotional health. Just want to finish by saying this. At the start of this year, we had a verse for the year, and it comes from Psalm 19. And this will be a good prayer for all of us to pray every day. And it says this: may the words of my mouth and the meditation, the thoughts of my heart, be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me pray. Lord, we ask that would be true for us, that the words that we say, the thoughts that we think would be acceptable in your sight, would be what pleases you. And may we as a result be people who bless, people who think words of grace in our hearts and speak words of blessing with our mouths. Lord, we want to be emotionally healthy people. Change and transform us, change and transform our church and our community, that we might be more mature, more emotionally healthy, more filled with your grace.